The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Yeah, baby! Good morning, man.
How are you?
Happy Curry and Claypo. Happy Thursday. Happy March 2nd. What's going on?
Nothing.
Dr. Josh Claypo here at the TKR Studios for our weekly visit. We'll be on Fox 6 this morning at 9:40 talking about how to deal with lousy neighbors. Yeah, it's funny because the last neighborhood I left, man, I loved everybody east, west, yes. North, and south. I mean, yeah, I had no one behind me. And there was one dude, we call him the old man, that's been a pain in the ass in our neighborhood for a long period of time. People just kind of told me to stay away from him. And of course, you tell me to stay away from somebody. What am I going to do? I'm going to go talk to the guy.
Right.
And I remember like the second or third month we were in the house, it was 4th of July. And I was blowing off fireworks.
Yeah, that's
At 9 o'clock at night. Not late, but you have to wait till it gets dark for the 4th of July, and it was like a Tuesday.
I know.
And this guy comes out of his house in his underwear and starts dropping GDs.
Oh yeah, see that?
What the and this guy's in his 70s. And I'm with my kids, I'm like, whoa. Dude, chill out.
Yes.
I didn't even know who the guy was. And then I come to find out that everyone in the neighborhood said the guy's a pain in the ass. But since I had been there, he had lost his son, he lost his wife.
You never know people's story.
And then, you know, we started trick-or-treating over at his house. He's super nice. I seen him at Publix. I saw him yesterday at Publix, and we're not friends, but he knows
me. It's civil.
Yeah, but
there's always so much misunderstanding.
You never know what people are going through.
Exactly.
Let me tell you something happened yesterday.
Here we go.
I wish
we could zoom in. This is the Tony. Go ahead.
So I go to a meeting yesterday.
Yes.
This fellowship meeting, if you will.
Yes.
And we're talking about trying to acknowledge and be compassionate towards others. We don't know what kind of day people are having. People are nitpicking about the little things that piss them off, you know, someone driving too slow in the left lane and all the little things that seem like they're so big at the time, but they're really God-sized and they mean nothing. So I'm coming out, I'm getting on Highway 280, and right there by the waterworks, the right two lanes are blocked off.
I know.
I'm not in a hurry.
But it's still.
But I've never had a 9-to-5 job, and I don't like traffic jams.
Yes.
And I didn't move to Atlanta just because of the traffic. They could have given me $1 million a year. I'm like, I ain't going there.
Right, and there's this is not an accident. So
exactly.
So it's a inconveniencing you.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not a road rager.
No, you're not.
You won't see me flipping birds. You may see me far quad, move up. Yeah, I'm like, Tom, chill out. So I'm in the second to the right lane, and I realize I got to get over in one of the two left lanes because the right two lanes are blocked.
That's right.
So I move on over to the second lane. Someone let me in. I wave. I'm a waver. I always wave. The guy in front of me gets over into one of the lanes that is eventually going to end.
Right, because you can zoom all the way up to the front.
He was driving a Lexus. You know how I feel about Lexus.
But you can zoom all the way up to the
Lexus.
Front. No, all the way up to the front.
Oh, no, you can't. No.
It
was blocked off. The lanes were ending.
Oh, okay.
So he gets, and I'm like, what's this dumbass getting in that lane? And there's a sign that says, right two lanes are ending.
I know you're not.
So I'm thinking, why in the hell is this guy getting, and so
mental
I start,
emergency.
And I just had a meeting about being passionate. We don't know what the situation is. Maybe they're driving slow because they have an open tub of paint in the front seat. Maybe they have a sick child they're trying to get the broken. Be compassionate. Don't, you know. I just talked about that.
You lost.
And I'm like, and it didn't affect me at all. He's getting out of my way. I was like, dumbass, you're gonna get stuck.
Yes.
You're gonna get stuck.
Yes.
And so then the guy in front of him
moves over
in the right. I was like, what is wrong with you people?
Ambulance. Yes.
Well, it gets worse than that. I see flashing lights. I didn't know what it was. And it was a cop on a motorcycle.
Funeral procession. Yes.
A funeral procession. People were getting out of the way. So this funeral procession, which is really, I mean, I guess I'm thinking to myself, why would you want to take a funeral procession during that point on Highway 280? I guess there was no other way around it because funeral processions can go for hundreds of miles.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess they were taking the direct shot and it was really screwing everybody up because we were already backed up. It was lunch hour.
And, that's and, an interesting.
I don't want to sound compassionate. What the hell is this guy thinking, dying when I'm trying to get home? No. Don't make me late for my meeting.
That's an interesting traffic thing.
And I felt so bad.
Yeah,
I was like, you had ill thoughts. I was like, Tony, just spoke about? What are you doing, dude? People are getting out of the way for this thing. And then, of course, everyone starts the river starts to come back together again, and it was fine. But I felt so bad. I was like, you know, heed your own advice. Don't be a hypocrite. And I was like, I was sitting there just talking about it. Everyone just chill out, pause and pray. Realize it ain't all about you. You're a grain of sand on the beach alive, and I'm sitting there giving this guy a hard time. It had no effect on me, and then I realized that he saw a police officer on a motorcycle before I did, and I felt like I needed to get out and apologize.
So context is everything. Yeah. So first of all, I actually didn't know. I've never been in a situation where there's a funeral procession and traffic. I never thought about partying for a funeral procession. But I guess you wouldn't know anyway because there's a police in it. Okay. Context is everything. And you gave such a great example there. Because I know you. I know your heart. I know how you think about things. And the things that you said at that meeting, I know you believe.
Yeah.
And you said it with conviction. It wasn't just a thing. However, we are so hardwired for context that it literally, context can pull us out of our true beliefs. Mm-hmm. And it's such a classic example. This has happened to me. I've gone out and given talks about sort of stress management, recalibrating, don't let yourself get derailed too much, right? And then when the talk is done and it's noon and I'm trying to get home and I'm hungry and I'm literally grinding my teeth, swearing under my breath about anything, including that damn traffic on 280, and I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I am exhibiting exactly what I said not to do. But I think that what we have to do is not expect that we're not going to do that. It's more the catching yourself.
Yeah.
It's more the catching yourself, and because we're always going to be pulled. No matter how deep our spiritual beliefs are, no matter how self-actualized, blah, 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 we are always going to be pulled to what the context is, what the environment is, and our job is to fight against it. Mm-hmm. And if we get pulled off, it's really a matter of how quickly can we get back?
Yeah.
Like it took you, what's interesting about it is, had there not been a funeral procession, you'd still be pissed until you got all the way through.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, then I'd probably be okay with it. I mean, control what you can control is the whole thing.
Yeah, but
there was nothing I could do. And so
but the whole I don't like the whole control what you control. I understand it. It makes total sense.
Yeah.
But for all of us, it's like we know control what you... You know, I shouldn't try to control what I can't control.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how we're wired, to try to control everything around us.
Oh, yeah.
So it's more of...
Know where they're directed.
Yeah, realize that you're trying to control something that you can't control, including a Lexus driver, and I know how you feel about Lexus drivers.
Oh, Lexus drivers. My son texted me this morning at 7:20 in the morning, my 18-year-old. I don't get texts at 7:20 in the morning from my 18-year-old.
Is he sick?
No, because I was like, oh, God, check this out. Today starts tournaments in the NCAA for 10 of the next 11 days. He's like, there's games all day, every day.
True.
And I was like, that got my son out of bed this morning. So are you watching Detroit Mercy versus Youngstown State tonight?
Should I be?
Yeah. Well, and you should know why. And this is the reason I'm bringing this up. Pistol Pete's record's going down tonight. He has led the NCAA in scoring since 1970, 53 years. He is the scoring record holder. It will get beaten by Antoine Davis later on tonight. He needs 26 points. They had to win their first game in their conference tournament, which he did a couple nights ago. He scored, I think, 38 points.
Okay, but you know, I'm going to ask you.
Yes.
So
he will be the all-time leading scorer in NCAA basketball history. Antoine Davis will if he scores 26
points.
Okay,
but listen.
And Pistol Pete did it in 3 years.
That's what I was going to ask you.
He's done it in five. He got the extra because of COVID.
Yeah, okay.
And
No three-pointers.
He did it with no three-pointers.
That's what I was going to
say. Which is amazing.
Well, that's what I asked you about LeBron. You gave me great statistics on that. Yeah. But I always feel like there has to be that adjustment. Right? You can't... you go, the game has changed. Yes, you can score more points now on the same shot. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's just not a, you know, what we should have done is...
But I mean, there's no steroids. There's no asterisks.
Yeah, yeah.
Are different. Players got out early. I get it. Pistol Pete averaged 44 points a game for 3 years. Well, this guy's averaging 28.
That's the difference.
Because he stayed in. I don't think he stayed in
to
break the record. And he did say something yesterday. He's like, I'd much rather make March Madness than break this record. I'm like, no. They're 14 and 18. There will be a 14 and 30 team get in this year because there always is some conference champion that puts it together for four or five games. They don't get the bye that they end up getting in. But this is a record that's been held for 53 years.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, and you would have thought, well, I guess with players staying longer, I would have thought that it would continue because so many players leave early.
Uh-huh.
Right, so I would have thought it would go over.
Well, yeah, because if you're averaging 28 points a game for 3-4 years,
you're
going
done. Yeah, that's exactly.
In the NBA, you only have
what's
to go
the
1 year.
Again?
Detroit Mercy.
Detroit.
And Youngstown State, the Horizon League. As a basketball purist, you should be watching that game.
No, I am.
I'm going to be watching it, but
I think it's great.
I've been watching ESPN for 45 minutes. I haven't had a damn word about it.
No. You know.
I love to watch history.
I know you do.
To see the NBA and college basketball scoring records go down within a week of each other is...
I know.
It gives me goosebumps. It's crazy.
It's lovely. It's beautiful.
Seriously.
I know.
Two huge records.
I know.
It's never going to happen.
Charleston Cougars. Charleston Cougars. They won. They're gonna go to the dance.
Good.
You know my bias. And then my Bruins.
Well, yeah.
My Bruins are on top. Well, they're not quite on top. Alabama's on top. This is going to be...
You like Coach Cronin?
I don't have anything. It's nothing against him. I mean, obviously,
I don't like him because he coached at Cincinnati.
Yeah,
and Xavier fans hate him. But that just goes to show he's just one of those guys you look at and he's like,
well, that's
there's no way he could possibly be a nice guy. He just looks like a jerk.
No, but that's exactly
he
what
looks
I was
like a jerk.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. It's that judgment of it's the judgment of the outside part.
Yeah,
right, and because he.
Wouldn't it suck to be born with a face that looks like you're just a pain in the ass?
Yes.
And I know people like that, and I feel that's another one of those things where I feel bad. I'm like, just get to know the guy. There's some people that just look like they're just not nice people.
Yeah.
Yeah. They may be like neighbors.
That's right.
Fox 6. And he's one of those guys where you look at it, he can be smiling, it looks like a jerk. When he's angry, it looks like a jerk.
Yep.
I think it's maybe because of his head. I don't know what it is. He's kind of a small little guy.
He's a small little guy. He has his... It's like resting bitch face. But
yeah,
his resting face is not like neutral or happy. His resting face kind of has a frown to it,
mm-hmm.
but it's like a structural frown.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if he's happy or not. And so we do. So we read and we make the assumption.
Yes.
Plus two, if you just look at if you look at him walking up and down the court, mm-hmm. however tall he is, let's just say he's 6 feet or 5'11".
Yeah.
He's a little chunky guy walking up and down the court with these gigantic players,
yeah.
and he's got a frown on his face and he's got a suit that doesn't fit that
yeah.
well. But Bruins, Bruins number four.
No, they're gonna be good.
Yeah,
my Muskies got a big one last night. They're up by 22, and then they end up winning by 6 or 7, I think, something like that.
And that was just
one final other stat. And then we're gonna take a 1 minute break and we're back. I've got today's Dr. Zeus Day. It's his birthday today.
Is he? Really?
Theodore Geisel. I've got a little stat about Theodore that no one knows that will amaze you. You'll be glad you came back in a minute. But I saw another stat about the NBA yesterday, which I think is amazing. So last night, 5 guys in the NBA scored 40 or more points.
Yep.
That is the 6th time it's happened this year.
Yeah.
In the previous 76 seasons, how many times that happened?
Once.
4 times.
Yeah.
4 times in 76 years
game.
That it's happened.
I don't even mean about this.
It's a different game.
It's a different game.
All right, so that's perfect. Speaking of different game. Great article that David Sears, one of our producers, sent me. I sent you. from Psychology Today. So this is all you. I'm gonna let you go. Talking about dating as a different game. Now, I did a little more digging after I read this article last night, this morning, and I'm going to tell you why the Gen Z generation is screwed, not in the right way. They're in some big time trouble. This could be something we get into on Fox 6 if they want to get a little spicy down the road. But if you're a 28, 29, 30-year-old male right now, you need to hear this segment we'll do a little bit later on this morning. All right, we'll be back in 1 minute. Curry and Claypool right here. Good morning to you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.